Gathered together, Lord, in this assembling place, knowing, Father, that we are a church of the living God. Lord, a church is not a mortar and a brick and a galvanized, but it is your people. Father, let a place, a little portion in our hearts that you have preserved for yourself. Lord, in that place you have promised to meet us in there, Father. And Lord, we are standing, we come tonight, confessing, Lord, of our sins. Oh, God, we ask that you forgive us, Father. And Lord, that sin that you have forgiven us, Lord, give us grace to know that we are forgiven, that we will not allow the devil to keep battering us, Father, and things that are under the blood. Give us courage, Father. Give us strength, Lord. Lord, we can see in this hour the approaching dangers, Lord. But we are grateful to be posted of the Spirit, to know what is ahead, Father. And Lord, if we are one step ahead of the enemy, Father, preparing, Lord. Lord, for the first time, Father, ever to happen, Lord, an image unto the beast is standing, Father. It's almost ready, Lord, raging and ranting to come at us. But Lord, we know that we are on the training. The training of the greatest teacher that they ever can have, Father. That teacher, the inside teacher, Lord. Preparing us, Father, to be standing here waiting, God, that when the image of the beast is ready, Lord, we will be standing in the image of the Word to face every tide, to face the enemy, the God, to stand, Father. Even as the servant and prophet has said one time, the time will come that when we shall run through the troop of death. Death will come of us, Lord, and we stand and face it, and we'll have to back away from us, because darkness cannot stand in the presence of light. And when that time comes, Father, that the light is fully in us, Lord, oh God, we'll reach the place of adoption, Father, to with the change of our body. Oh God, we are groaning. Groaning with all nature, Father. We have come tonight, Father, in this place. You have come to be tried. You have come to be tested. You have come to be trained, Father. And even to say, as Mary did, Lord, be it unto us according to thy will, Father. Precious Lord, bless your man servant tonight. Lord, give him strength, Father. Let him be bold in the Spirit, O God. Never let his flesh feel that God little or feel timid or in any way, Father. Put the boldness in him, dear God. Let him cut it, Father. Let him puncture it, Lord. Let him expose the enemy, dear God. Oh, God, let him pour it out, Father, that we can search our lives. That we can search, Father, to rest upon the altar. That we can say our enemy is dead. That we can come to the place, Father, with the inside of us speaking and say, Lord, here is a burnt offering, Father. Bring us to that place, oh God. Lord, you've been teaching us. Lord, you've been guiding us, Father, and the moment of consecration is here. Help us to be consecrated, oh God. Let us lay aside the world, the things of the world, the pleasures of the flesh. Oh God, as we can stand in the Spirit, Father, pure and holy in thy presence, O God. Lord, bless the visitors that are among us, Father. Lord, if there is anyone that you have known before the foundation of the world that is savable, save them tonight, Father. Lord, the hour is late. We can read the signs of the time. Bless the musicians, Lord. Lord, what a sea that we are having, Father. To know that we are standing in the presence of the infinite God who created the heavens and the earth. And we are candidates for visitation with the supernatural. Oh God, visit us tonight, Lord. Speak to us tonight, Father. Strengthen us, Lord. Shape us, Lord, and mold us, the God, into thine own image, Father. Get honor and get glory, Lord. Bless the song leader, Father. Bring him, Lord, in that atmosphere that we can sing the song that will be pleasing to you, dear God. Lord, that our songs and our praises and our voices can come up to you, Father, as the incense of all that were burned on the incense of altar, Father. Let our prayers come to an end this evening, Father. Get honor and get glory. Oh, God, we'll not fail to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that you so richly deserve. We ask it, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Just turn to your left, turn to your right, greet each other. As I greet you tonight in the precious and the worthy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray, just loosen up yourself tonight. Let's have a wonderful time in His presence. We came here to worship Him. We give Him all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. We shall not do anything less than that tonight. Blessed be His wonderful name. Amen. I want to try to sing the song we sang on Sunday. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going in anyhow. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Now let's take a listen tonight. We are going to see a Messiah quick. What? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Think of swing boots or no boots, friend, no friend. Let's give a Lord a hand tonight. He's worthy of our praise. I tell you, God, tell you, I'll worship anyhow. Yes, God, is what it is. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the time of the thank you, Jesus. That's the time of
thank you. What a people we the corner we come into a majesty. And this is the day of redemption, and its price has been paid. And yet I see the things you promised missing in my life. Oh, how I want to lose my life. So his life could be wrapped up in mine. So his life could be wrapped up in mine. For I'm tired of living on the privilege when I see what God has done. Yes, I'm tired of living as a servant when it's time for manifest the sun. Lord, you gave revival and you promised the third pursuit. For the greater work we have to do. For the greater work we have to do. There are souls under the altar. They are crying out, how long, Lord? The sleeping saints, they are anxiously awaiting on the resurrection. In my heart there is a cry to go back to that place where no more darkness in a mirror. Seeing face to face. The whole creation is groaning, waiting on that sweet release. The lion wants to lay down with the lamb for a thousand years of peace. And I want to see the one who's been with us all this time. Yet, till I have to lose my life. So his life could be wrapped up in mine. So his life could be wrapped up in mine. For I'm tired of living on the privilege when I see what God has done. Yes, I'm tired of living as a servant when it's time for manifested sons. Lord, you gave revival, and yet you promised a third pursuit. For the greater work we have to do. For the greater work we have to do. Thank you. prophet said the true church would rise. Another book of Acts. And if I don't come back to that thing, then I have missed the mark. But between revivals the love has grown, there's a possibility. The meal's been placed upon the stick to be baked into reality. The faith to use the power is growing greater all this time. So like Samson, just once more, Lord, like Esther, if I perish, I perish, Lord, like Jonah to do your bidding, Lord, like Joseph to be a prisoner. All the greater work we have to do. For the greater work we have to do.
That's my heart tonight. Is that your conviction? Amen. You know the priest, Sister Samantha Andrews, give God thanks for healing her from pains in her body since first offered for her last night. Also, Brother Sister Walker, give God thanks for his hand of protection on your son Oba, who was attacked by two demon possessed men at school today. But for the grace of God, nothing serious resulted. Amen. I believe when you, before you send them to school, you pray and you commit them in the hand of God, knowing that their angel is with them, amen? Watching over them to protect them, to keep them in the way. You know, I don't know if I'm correct, but, you know, I remember how you sing the song, I think Brother Harold kind of, you know, the last two lines, two dark trials, tribulation, persecution, I'll be faithful. I think they're kind of dragging it, you know, back and kind of long. And I was hoping that maybe Sunday when you sing this song, instead of keep calling out the words, you would sing it once at least to let the people understand how it was, you know. But every time you come to that place, you kept saying two dark trials, and then you're waiting, and then tribulations, then you're waiting, and then persecution, then I'll be faithful. So you come like you're only being a talk when you start part of the verse, you know. And I know some of let me see, those who know the right, raise your hands, let me see. I know, singer, what about a bishop, is he around? You think you could stand for us? You think you know the right way? Come, brother, come. Anyway, you know, brother, bishop, stumble a little bit in song, but once he slip into the gear, everything is all right, amen? Praise God.
Amen, well, we'll sing it a little faster, amen? When we reach the part that I'll be faithful, for I'm going to see the King. Please don't pause there. Go straight into for I'm going to see the King. Amen. So we'll just flow across. Amen. So could we just sing it a little faster. Amen. If I look too bad. If I tarry, I tarry.
I believe that's a little better, amen? So let's just turn our Bibles tonight, the book of Esther. If I perish, I perish. Just gonna continue preaching as an inspiration. Maybe for the tape, you could call it part two if you want. Just wanna begin again, maybe for some that. You know, been here, just to recap on the morning. Gonna take where we started Sunday, chapter 3, verse 8. Did everybody read the book of Esther over the 2 days? Let me tell you how people really take the time off to read it. Amen. You see, we want to look in on these things because we believe that there is certain things that are very much needful that we understand, especially when we realize that the book really didn't mean much to anybody else throughout the ages, but it's written for this time, amen? Verse 8, chapter 3. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are different from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's prophet to tolerate them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those who have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And remember, Agag was king of the Amalekites, and Agagite means one who is of the race of Agag. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. There was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's deputies, and to the governors who were over every province, and to the princes of every people of every province, according to its writing, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, and one day even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the property of them for spoil, the copy of the writing for a commandment, to be given in every province as published, and to all people, that they should be ready for that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. When Mordecai learned all that was done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the center of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry, and came before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. The rest of the maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. There was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he accepted it not. Then called Esther for Hatash, one of the king's chamberlains, who he had appointed to attend upon her, and to give him a commandment to Mordecai to learn what it was and why it was. So Hatash went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to explain it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatash came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spoke unto Hatash, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, saying, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not, see the spirit of discernment, with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to return to Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews who are present in Shushan, and fast before me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day, I also my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Let's get to Revelation chapter 3. I want to get verse 10, a prophecy here and there. age of Philadelphia. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Almighty God, Father, as we have read these inspired scriptures, these prophetic promises, Lord, how we thank you that you have sent forth a prophet in this day to make known to us the full counsel of God. Though many in this generation, Lord, have failed to recognize the coming of Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, yet, Lord, it was spoken in the Bible that it would come in this hour. And through your grace and your mercy, you have allowed us to recognize the fulfilling of that scripture, and be brought under the song of that voice, and to walk in the light that has been shed forth in our pathway. The Lord God, we can be made ready for your coming. I pray tonight, Father, Lord, we sit in your presence. Your Holy Spirit will take the word of God and break the bread of life onto us. Feed our hungry hearts and may the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ rest upon us. That we might see and understand these great mysterious things that are happening in this hour. Anoint our eyes with eyes that we can see, Lord. And what we see, O God, may, Father, be so inspired to our hearts and may bring us under the divine effect of that word. The Lord, we can press on unto the coming of the Lord. We can run for our lives, Father, and hasten unto your coming. Lord, for realize that day is coming, Lord. And you said, behold, I come quickly. Let no man take our crown. Lord Jesus, may the reality of your coming, may the reality of the hour we are living in. As your prophet said, he had one desire coming up to the end of his ministry, was to awaken that church to the coming of the Lord. Father, that's the way that I feel tonight, Lord, to awaken the church to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard it so many years, but the hour is here, Lord. Time is running out. He that is filthy be filthy still. He that is righteous be righteous still. He that is holy be holy still. Let the word of God bring to us shaking in this hour, Lord. Lord, we see, we recognize our day and our message. We check ourselves and see if we in the faith. Granted, Father, may everyone this year under the song of his voice, Father, may they be prepared and may they be made ready and have that token in this place. For without that token, we'll perish. We're not looking, Lord, for our education, how well dressed we are, and how good we can speak, and how much of the message we can quote. But if the literal life of Jesus Christ is on display for the world to see, oh God, may we recognize these things, Father, for we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, for your honor and for your glory. Amen. God bless me. Have a seat. If I perish, I perish. Amen. I just want to go right into the message. We have a lot. Maybe we want to try to put inside here tonight, and may God help us to get as much of it as we can get in. And that, you know, you could really be caught up to really be under the effect of what we believe the Holy Spirit wants to impress upon our hearts at this time. You know, I think it was last Thursday, I was kind of speaking a little bit, trying to bring back to your remembrance, to stir up your mind, as the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God has been opening up to the Word and been speaking to us, especially since 1985, January, when we begin to preach travailing in birth and pain to be delivered, always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, and all these things. You know, and as one who believes these things, one who lived for these things, and especially when you see it come from the message and you see it is in accordance with the promise of the hour, When God reveals something, you write it in your heart. You want the Holy Spirit to put it in your heart. And you try to stay under the effect of it, and as more of that will unfold, and you see how clear the way is being made, then, you know, even in those things, you become certain of God, because as we go on for weeks and for months, and even for years, you see the unfailing reality of the Holy Spirit making the word so plain unto us that we can really see that, look at the things that God had in his mind, places that we didn't even think we'd have tread and go into, things that we didn't even realize had been connected together, and places that were kind of dark and mysterious. As we keep walking by faith, we see how it unfolds and becomes so real. That when we are tied into an atmosphere of Jesus Christ being present tense amongst us, and the Word of God being brought to light, to let us see that the prophet, speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when God is opening the seven seals, and the message was being declared unto us, that we might see Jesus and his program for this day. That we could see then that how many of those that we took lightly was warnings of the Holy Spirit. Many of those things that, you know, maybe that we didn't maybe give the attention and try to study close, we realized that we couldn't really rise to the place that we should have risen to and see the Word be made manifest in our lives, because we failed to see the importance of those things. Many people, you know, I always remember, especially when the prophet was preaching on the seals and he began to show us, it was a complete mysterious book of Revelation being revealed at that very hour. He says, while this field is being opened, it's just confirming those church ages. It's opening up to us what's going to happen the last time of the 70th week. It's showing us all the bars and these things is already breaking right under these seals. He said, maybe we're going to come back after this and take those seven last trumpets and, you know, really show you what has been happening all along. And you know how God had to get the Jews back in the homeland and get them ready, because this message of the opening of the seals is gathering the church to take her out of the way. You know, and we come along and these things come like messages. These things come like sermons, and we have it in a sealed book, and it come like something happened 1963, and it was just the making known of truth that the denominations didn't know. But it was beyond making known of truth. It was the beginning of the coming of the Lord unfolding unto us. It was the Lord himself that the promise that Christians for all ages have looked for and died in faith. Amen. Knowing that Jesus Christ promised to return. That promise had already begun to unfold in the earth. To know the generation that had seen Israel back in the homeland was seeing the coming of the Lord taking place. But when we've been caught up into the revelation of it, it was so strange that we found out why it will be few, and why the whole world will be caught up and going to the tribulation and miss the coming of the Lord, because they never understood that the coming of the Lord, when it comes like a thief in the night, was going to be a secret. Have to be revealed to those who lamps are trimmed and filled with oil. And many try to school themselves in it. Many try to learn it. Many try to reason it out. Many try to figure it out. Many of the educated teachers, you know, try to tie things together. But it was those who were filled with oil. Hallelujah. Those who had the Holy Spirit, amen, inside of them, could receive the experience, could receive the revelation to identify to them that they are one going up in the resurrection. Because it was not going to be a truth preached like baptism. It was not that the world could know and teachers could still and debate it. It wasn't going to be something like the blood and Calvary and all these things. It was going to be something that only those who is part of it will know it's happening. Amen. The one shall be taken and the other shall remain. Where, Lord? Where the carcass is? Where the unfailing body word of the Son of Man is being revealed? Where those seven thunders is not in their voices? Amen. In that only provided place. A little group will be taken out and be taken up into that mystery. Hallelujah. That's why believers in this hour are walking on the earth, but with a revelation in their hearts. Those apostles, after Jesus' resurrection, after he had died and risen again, they saw him. He appeared unto them.
It was necessary that they know he was not dead. That even when the devil tried to tell him he's a ghost and they had no visitation of the resurrected Lord, he said, handle me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Even when many were skeptical and tried to stay a far distance off, he said, come believe it and be not faithless. Hallelujah. He was determined to let his believers, who would be part of that great promise that was being manifest in that hour, the appointment of the Holy Spirit, he was determined to let them know he was alive. He was determined to let them know there was something made available. He didn't fail to minister entrance abundantly did, because the Bible said he was showing himself alive by manifestation, by infallible proof, and speaking things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Not about his baptism and not about all his earthly ministry and all those things here, about the first pull in the healing revival that he had, about John and all these things. No! He came speaking things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What is death has made available, and the Holy Spirit was not going to be released in the church to bring the path of promise. That his whole message was pointing them to, that there was going to be an point of the Holy Spirit. He had come to make the way back to the tree of life, amen, available unto them. And here he was that hour, ministering that message, and to really bring them to the realization that all is there. You have to take the scriptures. You have to take his life and ministry. You have to tie the two together. Amen. And those people who are going towards Emmaus in gloomy and darkness, because that's what Emmaus means. Obscurity. Amen. Hallelujah. He was turning on the light. There's a man in the midst turning on the light. Hallelujah. Showing them what was happening. Showing them the hour. Showing them the thing that was coming to pass. And those people after Jesus ascended, and there was no physical Jesus anywhere to be seen, or to be handled, or to touch, or to walk around and follow and sit and eat with. Yet those men pack a revelation in their heart. Hallelujah! They walk up into the upper room, they sat down there, and they waited until they were endued with power from on high. Amen. There were witnesses. They wrote a book of Acts. Amen. And look at it, in this day, when that message have come back, the opening of the seven seals, within a couple of years, the effect had been gone from the people. And the cloud shown, the skies after being spoken, and the cloud being turned, and the priest handed the prophet the book, and the rock being thrown up, and all these things, that whenever it happened, it went back to the Bible, and he was showing them. He said, so much scripture has been fulfilled. He said, have to go in the desert and wait. Amen. He said, God sent Moses to the desert. He came back and wrote the Old Testament. He said, he sent Paul to the desert. He wrote the New Testament. He said, here, God have me up in the desert out here. We're not going to be having great meetings all about. He said, God have me waiting, hanging around here, because so much scripture is being fulfilled. That he said, I'm just waiting to see which one of these things are open up. That every message was speaking. He said, I'm laying in these scriptures that you can dovetail all scripture when the time comes. Don't you know there's going to be an hour in the church? He said, these things will be revealed to these sons of God in the last days. I can take the many quarters and show it up. These sons of God in the last days will take these things and display them to the church. He said, I'm just opening the seven seals so you'll be able to dovetail all scripture. Later out, God has given special messages to put the parts there. So when he left, all the parts was here. He didn't put the whole thing together, but all the parts was here. He said, the Holy Spirit will teach you further on these things. And that's why when we see Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will bring back to your remembrance. Amen. And that's why I told you there, watch that thing with Noah. The Spirit of Christ will search the deep things of Christ. It will take the things of Christ and shall show it unto you. Do you realize that olive leaf in the dove mouth had everything necessary to go into the new ministry? That olive leaf was anointing, was light, was food, was medicine, was cosmetic, everything it needed to go into that ministry. Then before this new ministry, the bride, bring that ministry to reality, bring it to life, bring it into operation. Everything that God will minister from the time he revealed that we are entering that new ministry, everything that God would speak, amen, pertaining to that new ministry, speaking things pertaining to the kingdom that the Father good pleasure to give unto you in this hour. Amen. And all these things in the Bible. And we see like Gideon there connected to new ministry. And we see Noah connected to new ministry. And we see Micah connected to new ministry. And we see the widow of the meal connected to new ministry. All these things. And the Holy Spirit have these things in his mouth. Everything that he needed. Self-sacrifice, prisoners, responsibility. Amen. Hallelujah. God opened up all these things to get our people ready. 1985, when the Holy Spirit began to show that the hour coming, the mask is going to be smitten. Amen. And took all them types, the voice of the archangel, children in prison, the oil on the 2 6, children in the belly of the whale, all these things are opened up to show that there's a ministry and light was being sent to quicken that word and bring it to light. That those who have to go into that ministry, they will know what's happening. 11 months after, November the 13th, then in Houston, Texas, here we come and we have the experience with the masterpiece being smitten. I church at that time there. And then when we had that sign, then God come back. God signs for run, God events is always in order. After 11 months being preached, amen, here it comes and begin to be confirmed. Then the Holy Spirit begin to come and open up those things to us. Amen. And show us what we are coming on to. Then 1986, we come and the Holy Spirit come right then. Go to Judges 6. Everything is right in Judges 6. Amen. And the Holy Spirit come again and show what has happened after the prophet message before the squeeze come. When Gideon lifted his eyes and saw them three powers uniting together, then he knew what he was coming for. That is why he had fear. That is why he was trying to hide his wheat. Amen. But here, as we break into Esther, it just uncovers more of it. More of the plot. More of the coming together. More of the plan to destroy the people. Amen. You take every shadow and type of the bride after the prophet, before the promise, it must be a burnt offering. The burnt offering is not just a thought. Amen. It's the revelation of preeminences. And God will not preeminence in the bride. And every shadow and type of the bride must reveal preeminences. Because there's no new ministry unless there's preeminences. Preeminences brings the new ministry into operation. Amen. Complete death, complete surrender, complete sacrifice. Whether you win over the meal, whether it's Gideon, whether it's Esther, amen. If you feel, where's my car? Standing there. Regardless of what everybody said, he went back to what Elijah said. Hallelujah. He saw them powers coming together. He knew what was going to happen. They're going to bring a squeeze upon him, but he declared the message anyhow. The message having preeminence inside of him. Oh, there is pressure to come into organization. There is pressure to forfeit his message. There is pressure to back up his fear. He didn't care the term of death. He didn't care with his life. Amen. You will surrender the word. You will sold out to that message. For those years, them 7,000 of that seal lay there feeding upon what Elijah brought in at all. But when the time came out and the heavenly vision broke and my car went out there, he saw what was happening. His vision he saw in heaven was manifest in you. He saw the vision first. He said, I see a conch in heaven. I see a lion spirit come out. He's going to go in Ahab prophet to these things. When he looked out, he saw the fulfillment of his vision. You know what he's saying? And here, as all those things are what something. And in the time of Gideon, you see those three powers coming. What it was for persecution. For a showdown. In the time of Micaiah, what was Ahab and Zedekiah coming for? For a persecution. See, in the time of Daniel, when are we going to find a way to pass the laws to trap him with his religion? Amen. What was it for? To bring a persecution. See, in the time of Jesus, after he's rejected, and then the Pilate and them and Caiaphas and them begin to come together, and the church and state, because the church couldn't kill him, so they went to the state to get the power to kill him. When I preach that message, what are we doing to the anointed word for this day? See, like last week I was preaching here, and a lot of shame began to come out. And normally we would even maybe try to put those things aside and let the people go outside and listen to do a thing. And then the Holy Spirit has put it back in the heart. This is the hour. The shame of the revealed word is being exposed. He stood there naked. All his shame was uncovered. But in that hour, they had to step forward and identify themselves with him. In that very way, if they want to believe him. They're not going to come in here and think there's a bunch of angels inside of here. They will not have devils inside of here. They will not have make-believers inside of here. They will not be fighting tooth and nail to leave this world. Hallelujah. they will see rugged Christianity every day living for Christ. Hallelujah! Inside this place. They won't see no eyes to the church come all the time. They will know they come here having business with God. Hallelujah! The world may look bung and weak and defeated. Amen, being spit upon, being mocked. But God knew you had come up to that very hour. He knew you had fixed it to go into a new ministry. Look at the very apostles when they come down there, and then they begin to move in there, the Sanhedrin council, to crush the church, to get the leaders. They took James and they took Peter, and they killed James, and they couldn't kill Peter, and they feed the leaders of the uproar. See? And we're going to find a way to chop the thing out. So wherever we look in the world, it is the mystery of the persecution slowly unfolding into the shadows of types, but speaking of one persecution. And where we find the ministry of the bride is the mystery of the one bride slowly unfolding itself, but coming on to very one very hour. Micaiah is part of the mystery. Esther is part of the mystery. Ruth is part of the mystery. Gideon is part of the mystery. All them is part of the very mystery of what is heading up in this great hour, when life and death is coming to the final struggle. Michael and Lucifer coming in the battlegrounds again. What it is? And them that out Michael is called and chosen and faithful. Amen. Them is stars that Lucifer couldn't pull with his tail. Hallelujah. Them didn't pull no punches. Amen. When Lucifer comes with them all bigger scheme and nice up, they better turn him in the word here. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. See? Brother, we got the spirit of Michael. Hallelujah. They're standing right here. Amen. In this very hour. Because why? They recognize this is an hour. The moon is black out. Refuse to give its light. The sun is not shining. The world passing where shall it? The stars are falling from heaven. Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals, even in telling the message, have not held the estate delivered 20 years ago by the messenger. When he says, say what I say, so I don't take away. Amen. It will make a cycle and come back around. But be you ready. Hallelujah. Then they watch the message come to life then. But many run up in all kinds of different things. And here's the hour. And when that message begins to come to life, when that revelation begins to get stretched and light up and show the bride in a way that the people can perceive. Hallelujah. And God come down and will shatter out a cloud. Didn't want no man says right or not, but the eye will take right. Glory be to God. Amen. If man says right, let God reveal it to them. But when God wants to speak, God will do something. Hallelujah! This is my beloved son. Hear him. Hallelujah! You question that if you want. You doubt it if you want. But this is the word coming forth anyhow. I charge any man, any student, any theologian, to say this is not the word of God. To say the point of another word of God. My child is not the word of God. The city principal team is not the word of God. It cannot be disputed. Hallelujah. The bride is the final voice to the final age. She will say exactly what the prophet said. Hallelujah. She will react to read the message vigorously. Hallelujah. God, coming down. Hallelujah. And showing himself. Why is the pillar of fire appearing everywhere now? Go back in the token and see where it comes from. It comes from vindication. To vindicate the message. Is this the message? Amen. Not what man said. Not what people who got light up in the world and the world have to shake them. Says right. Hallelujah. For people that love the word, that know it is the word, what an experience with the word, who have been made clean by the word. They know it's nothing but the truth. Like Sister Hattie right, and the saints on the other side, we are resting upon that. We are resting on Revelation 10. 8:11 is nothing but the truth. Amen. It's nothing but the truth. We are resting upon that. Amen. Because while it's promised, it was spoken for this hour. There was to be one more ride. There was to be a message. We are looking for a big showmanship. We are looking for humility and the power of Jesus Christ. We are looking for another voice. We are looking for the back that said the same thing what the prophet already said. Hallelujah. Brother, that's why the truth. That's why it's getting stronger and stronger. Why are we getting all this kind of pollutions and attacks from the devil? Because the devil is desperate. Hallelujah. He's seen a people. Brother, when that song dropped down from heaven, amen. Brother, between the revival, the locks have grown. There's a possibility that Samson, amen, just once more, Lord, like Esther of Persia, take and say, all hell, get up quickly. Come on, I need help. Amen. Try to stop them at all costs. Bring in make-believers, bring in unbelievers. Brother, find the contrary ones. Pray them with all kinds of things. To abominations. That will not stop us, devil. Hallelujah. That will not stop this bride. We are marching on regardless. Hallelujah. Amen. This message is for believers. These are the people that gather in Barataria. These are God on the seventh peak. Hallelujah. Who shall ascend in the summit of the seventh peak? Them with a clean hand and a pure heart. Hallelujah. Amen. This is that hour. When God have come down to show for themselves in these things. Amen. Too much people want to play church. Too much people want to make believe. Because they don't recognize the hour. But the Holy Spirit, God rich in mercy. You think you get Isaiah trying to say, oh, praise God, your love. God says, God rich in mercy. Oh, undeserving of your love, Lord. But you're saying anyhow. Amen. Why? Because the hour is here. We are coming onto the showdown. Amen. Gideon 300. It has people going up with empty vessels. Hallelujah! They're going to be that lamp in the vessel of burning fire. Not no cold, lukewarm spirit. But they have a living fire in that vessel. Glory be to God. Ain't nobody there. Ain't no what's going on. There was trumpets. Every man. But they only waiting for instructions to sound that trumpet. Amen! Hallelujah. A church that not every man divided in the old company. Got a move coming in the middle watch. Glory be to God. Amen. Coming in the middle watch. There was newly set. I tell you, these had to be revealed because that middle watch is newly set. When that cycle returns, the middle watch had begun. Hallelujah. The second fold. How many know years ago I preached Christ in the second fold of the 17th now being revealed? Amen. Why? Amen. Because it's the middle watch. Amen. Hallelujah, something's going to happen. Revelation means to come forth. Yeah. Amen, to identify the message is built. After it's built, it must be unveiled. After it's unveiled, it must become Revelation 11 to unveil itself by, to prove it's a match in peace. Then it must be smitten. Amen. Then there'll be a smiting time comes. What means this? Hallelujah! What is this? Keep your eyes on your sign, amen. When you see that, next attraction coming soon. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Amen. They smite not, they smite the image. Glory be to God. Amen. Something already formed in the image that has struck it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because promise is going to happen. The church will go to a squeeze. She will not be destroyed. They're not going to humiliate her. Just a squeeze that gets her to put your hand that script back. Pull out a smooth toe. Hallelujah! And wind it up in the slingshot of prayer and faith. Amen. Just enough pressure once more, Lord. Glory be to God. Like Samson, the greater works in the judgment hour, went over the lost. Amen. But now in that hour, the reverend strikes. Amen. When you see a moving right in step, because God is a God of continuity. God don't change his path, he don't change his program. He never leaves the line of his word. He never leaves the line of his spirit. God shows something that tight, he's going to follow it step by step. When you see the bride, every scripture, amen, but the birth pain, I should be under pain, I should be under distress, I should lament him, I should groan, I should wail him. What's going on? The very scriptures that identify that she's in that very hour. Amen. Her very life, her very experience shows the word is correct. And the word laying there shows that this is the people, because in the very hour when a people should behave that way, here they are coming forth. Amen. With that very experience. When two omnipotents come together, the miraculous must take place. It cannot fail to happen. Amen. Because God said it. Amen. So we know that these things are the truth. We know God promises. We see many people that fail to see how late the hour is. And the Holy Spirit, amen, had the prophet. He says, I have to awaken the church to the coming of the Lord. He says, I want to lead the church to deeper thoughts and higher objectives. He says, I want to rub the make-belief out and lead the church in the power of God. He is a man working by spiritual laws to achieve spiritual things. He saw what the church ought to be in that very hour. Amen. And while he was there, under the burden of his message, amen, but knowing that there would come for the people for encouragement, for motivation, for inspiration, a vision broke. He saw a preview of the bride. Amen. For one moment in the vision, without the Holy Spirit giving the true understanding, he thought that Miss USA Church was the bride. Amen. But God has shown him Vashti. Hallelujah! And he saw Vashti dancing the rock and roll music. Amen. But the Holy Spirit said, Vashti is not the bride. She rejected the seven voices, amen, of the headstone. Hallelujah! The Esther is going to appear. Here she can walk in on what Christian soldiers dressed in a royal apparel. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. You this is her. Oh, you're the consolation. You know them. You said, I know them visions never fail. If God showed me there's going to be a bride, there's going to be one somewhere. I don't see the naturalized right now, but she's going to rise somewhere. Amen. And this message is going to catch that bride. You said, I'm going to be faithful to my commission. I'm going to stop rattling the job, amen. I'm going to go like Eliezer to choose that bride. Amen. You're looking for it to happen. So look, the Holy Spirit, God rich in mercy, opening up all these things, showing to us, making the picture plain, giving us understanding so we will not be confused. We will not just be coming to church with a church spirit. We will not just be trying to live religious. We will not just be trying to hope we make it. Amen. The Holy Spirit is going to take the word and prove everybody who they are. He's going to prove Haman. Haman can't play Ahasuerus. He's going to show Haman is Haman by his life, going to manifest the characteristics, and he can't help but be this type. He'll have to act like Haman, live like Haman, regardless whether they call a world council of churches in this day. He'll have to live that same life. Hallelujah. Amen. Whether they call them Pentecostals, Vashti must show her colors. And if we see Vashti, if we see Ahasuerus, if we see Haman, if we see Zeresh, wouldn't there be an Esther somewhere? Oh, thank you, Jesus. There must be a people, amen, somewhere, who will look in the Bible, stand up on the altar of the Bible and say, that's me, that's me, that's the revelation. Wave and see Esther wave back. The cry for perish. And that's a cry for perish. Hallelujah. I'm going to consecrate myself and then go on regardless. This he has to do the same thing. Hallelujah. They can't help but believe that is me. God ordained my life for this very hour. They might have big ambitions, big plans. Amen. Have their minds set on different things of this world. But then God brings situations to turn them around. They don't understand it. Walk into a place like this, a message blast forth. Amen. Now they understand. That couldn't work out. That couldn't work out. Because God has given my life for this. Hallelujah. Amen. You get to recognize what hour they're living in. What time is it, sirs? Amen. They recognize the day, they recognize the message. They did not, I didn't know to have a people like this. I didn't know to have a church like this. I didn't know the Bible was so real. I didn't know that these things wasn't just Bible stories. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't know the Holy Ghost. Amen. But was right here in the land moving among his elected people. Amen. God quickly going to give people revelation. Let them wake up. Let them recognize what is happening. Amen. Quickly bring deliverance. The angel of the Lord came. He was the deliverer. And he knew what Gideon needed to do to get delivered. All Gideon had to say, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. Be done to me according to thy word. If you break down your grove, so argue. Go home and start a breakdown left, right, and center. Amen. Hallelujah. They troubled many people. They cast like Mary. Be done to me according to thy word. When the angel come on the scene, amen, and blast forth with the message. The devil says, he preached against me. He said, okay. But if in that condition, God's sake. Amen. Whether God tell in the back room, whether God tell in the pulpit, whether God tell in the house, whether God tell in a dream, God tell you anyhow. Get your life right. Amen. See, but this is that hour. There must be a people come to that place. But in this hour, we see the move of the enemy. Amen. But how he's working to develop that plot. How he's coming in shrewdly. Amen. All wisdom, Satan, Superman. Amen. Working a deceitful plan. Amen. To destroy God's people. Amen. Then there must be a message rise up. Amen. God, when the enemy comes like a flood, God raise a standard. There must be an eagle anointing sweep forth. Amen. But a thunder forth that message. What will be the message? Recycling back the same eagle message. Amen. In the season. He spoke everything in season out of the season. Hallelujah. He spoke of it down the road like he was talking about the right present tense. Because he knew everything was in seed form. Everything was in seed form in his age. There's nothing new happening. It's just the seeds that he identified but are maturing for the last 20 something years. He spoke everything laid out there. So when he was speaking about the seed, he was speaking like a seed fully manifested. He said, the prize is caught. Praise God. Amen. Brother, she's already sealed in. Amen. Brother, all I see now is the coming of the Lord. Then he said, when a prophet got up in that realm there, he sees everything is finished. And he speaks like it. Amen. Because he's an eagle, he's a seer, he's a foreteller of the word. He tells the revealed thing that is, was, and is to come. He sums up the entire message. Amen. But then, down for 20 years, here comes the unfolding now of the word. Amen. Picking up momentum. Picking up momentum in every realm, in the religious realm, in the political realm. Amen. In the social realm. Everything picking up momentum. Amen. Then, the bride who was in seed form and had amnesia. Amen. Who was hearing the word not fully revealed. Then that same people are going to talk different. Because why? When now this perfect has come. When the inside teacher begins to teach you further the truth. Hallelujah. Then you were seen through a glass darkly. Begin to move back. You had only seen the historical part of the message. And rejoicing. Begin to recognize. Yeah, it unfolded into something else. Hallelujah. You who wonder for a season. Before you express and declare. That is you. You are the next part of the mystery. Amen. Then all of a sudden. Begin to foment inside of you. Whether you want to say it. Or don't want to say it. Or want to hold it back. It's looking for vent. It wants to express itself. Hallelujah. You cannot help but say, that's me. Amen. We are the bride. Amen. The move is on. You cannot help but say. And the proof is not sung in brass. The proof is not some wild boat. The proof is not some exalted spirit. It will be word upon word upon word upon word. Word of blood part intellectual spirits. They'll pull along the strongholds of man ideas in the message. Amen. The word will be known in a certain way by a certain qualified group. Hallelujah. When God is willing to know, it can't take studying to do it. It is not comparing scripture with scripture, but it is the same voice that with a shout now become the voice. Hallelujah. The voice of many waters. Hallelujah. The voice of their angel reflecting through many waters. Hallelujah! What are the many waters? Many witnesses, Christians around the world, but one voice, the voice of the archangel, but the voice of many waters. Coming out, sending out, putting the message inside of the air. Because they know judgment is at hand. The message is urgent. The message is urgent. They're going to find many people slothful, can't move. They'll find many people bogged down with ideas. They'll find many people like a bunch of wandering stars. They'll find many hard to do with two opinions. Amen. But those who recognize the pillar of fire moving will pull up the stake and move with God. Move in season. Amen. Not understanding everything, but God dealing with them in a certain way that they could believe it. And because they believe, they shall see the glory of God. Because they believe, they shall see the glory of God. Amen. When people thought that bride could just praise God, and they thought the bride could just jump around, and they thought the bride could just dance plenty, and they thought the bride was a bunch of good singers, when the bride comes into real pain, and labor, and groaning, and toiling, you will see real bride there too. Amen. Glory be to God, amen. Oh, when she's happy that she conceived, and she's been a lot up in the mountain, and tell Elizabeth, and tell this one, and a lot of nice loud points to the Holy Spirit. But when she gets in labor, and she gets great with child, and she has to move slow, and she under birth pain, watch the same bride. Hallelujah. But under the birth pain, in labor. Hallelujah. Flat foot, amen. Now she's going to bring forth super sign. You're going to bring forth Emmanuel. Amen. And in that very hour, amen, when all the shouters, who was only shouters, and they jumped in and became part of the shouting, and who was good dancers, and they tried to outdance everybody. Hallelujah. When it's time for weeping, and wailing, and lamenting, and travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered, you will realize they never even conceived. Hallelujah. Amen. But for those who conceive, those adding cell upon cell upon cell. The word has been formed inside of the air. All seven voices rolling into one voice. To burst out of the air and bind the red dragon. What you come to devour. Bind him in a nut. Glory be to God, amen. Quarter with the heaven, bind him and then quarter with the heaven. Let him know, Satan, you overcome us back in Eden. Amen. Glory! But now we shall bruise you under our feet. Hallelujah! To show his victory and the reason of his death, that the bride is restored back to her rightful position. Hallelujah! Amen. When that hour strikes and God loose all them demon powers to prove that this bride is not like Eve. When will he loose her? Amen. See, between him giving that promise of his spoken word and before it happened, amen, he was loose in the waiting time. After Adam and Eve stood there with that promise, amen, of the spoken word going to come. It's going to reveal in its season. So you have to wait until that time comes. Don't try to go in and manufacture anything easy. Amen. In that time, we are testing time. A trying time. You'll be tried on your character. You'll be tried on your virtue. Amen. Who can find a virtuous woman? A church. Hallelujah. A church that will stay with the word of Malachi 4. A church that will recognize her headship. A church that is invisibly united. And they don't understand. They say, Lord, what do you say? They ain't going with their own ideas. She will have dust of the Lord from the headstone or keep still. Hallelujah! Because the harmony will be there. Amen. Prove she have the character. She ain't no flirter. She ain't no wandering star. She ain't no little ambitious little person looking for a little repetition or something. No, sir. Amen.
She will hold them virtue sacred. Yes. Sacred womanhood. Yes. Them little children are running playing the mud. Mama said, come inside, don't say, let me get a hickory stick. Praise God, amen. When I finish, put some hickory stick like I did last Thursday on you. You ain't wrong side here. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's what you need, he says. A good hickory stick. He said, she, you know, look up your mama in your face and say, I can do what I want. And girl, dear, you want to wear some scandalous kid to show your underwear? Eh? Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. There you young men, you know, you're all your curly hair, you know, put a pong of lard in your hair and smell like some funeral home and go out there driving in your hot rod and carrying on. Is there because of parent delinquency? It's because of backslidden preachers in the home church. Parent delinquency, amen! Hallelujah! But brother, if there is a virtuous woman, if your husband is Christ, she'll bring up her children in the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. She will tell them, all right, you're old enough to know right from wrong. You're old enough to know how you should care about yourself. Glory be to God. When you come in church, how to come before the altar and pray. You know, someday and talk and carry on. You know, go out in the world and carry on and play a worldly person out and Christian inside here. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's looking for a virtuous woman. If you walk in this church, you're wise here. You know, she'll never be mommy to her children. The children live anyhow and do what they want. But look at the opportunity. I wouldn't be here tonight. I was supposed to go to all through South America. The brothers ring me up, and Brother Isaac and George Smith and Brother Joseph Branham, they was going to a whole tour through South America, about seven of the South American countries. And Brother Isaac called me up Sunday night. He said, look, you wanted to go with us, and I'm going to pay your way all the way through and just meet us in Miami on Friday evening. We are going out. And I just had to go and get the visa here and go and meet them. And I said, well, why are you going to get a visa? You try and get the flight arranged, because they had the tickets in the hand already. He called me back the next day. He says, everything's arranged, set, just go and get the visa. And then I got up the next morning and I said, Lord, you know, these kind of things come in the church here. I said, let me bypass this. I was thinking about the young people service. He was talking about it the other night. Oh, you want to have the service with the young people? And I said, look, let me stay and attend to my field. Amen. But, amen. God had me under a little test, you see. See what I'm going to do. See. But he took my hand and everything. My brother said, you know, you watch the man on the boat. How did it go out the end? And he put under a test. So he didn't say, let me go back to the tabernacle and stop food. Amen. Right, just under the Holy Spirit, we need to open up the book of Esther and hear all these things. And the Holy Spirit said, the message is timely. The trip is going to take a whole month. I wasn't going to be back until the 2nd of March. And then, when I think I said, no, sir, I said, let me come here and labor here because it's necessary to put this message in. Amen. I just got the morning, so I got like a little heaviness, and I said, let me let that bypass. Let that part of the vision bypass. Hallelujah! Amen. Bung with chains of the word. And yes, no, many people who are close to me, they know, yes, I want to go to Argentina and all them places, and Brazil and all them places, and it's going all along Saturday. But just remember, we were down in Venezuela, we were talking about Argentina, but Robbie, when I was to myself, I want to go to Argentina, there's something inside of me calling. Yes, I had a dream, and I know it's in Argentina, you know. And then the opportunity came, I got to say, let bypass. There's just some little sheep inside, some lambs. Amen. That God is thinking about. Amen. Hallelujah. That he want to see them be healed. In this hour, when the seven doves come for perfect healing. Amen. When that olive leaf is in the mouth of that dove, ministering all that is needed to go into that new ministry. Amen. When God is calling for a burnt offering. Hallelujah. When we come into this book of Esther here to see what it is, was open up to Esther to push her into desperation. It wasn't that she was called. It wasn't that she was placed. It wasn't that she was queen. She was all of her ready. Even when she was making an excuse, she was all of her ready. She was unconscious of how advanced that plot was. She was unconscious of what the enemy was about to do. And the message struck that home to her. And when she saw it, not even her life is going to be safe. And when she saw it, throwing the desperation. And that's what we've seen. We've seen how the enemy is moving in here to destroy God's people. And that diabolical plan of the enemy, how is advancing with such rapidity. And that's why this message being preached now, to bring into our hearts a real sense of commitment. Amen, to the cause of Christ. Because when that message was preached to Esther, in that hour, uncovering the plot of the enemy and what he's about to do, it put the commitment in her that she didn't have for her people. You ask me if you love your people. I say, sure, I said, you love my people. But you love them enough to live your life? The course of life? You see what we're talking about? And when she saw her life, now even though something of a lesser demand, it wouldn't uncover that unconscious unbelief, you know. But it took something that was going to cost her a life to uncover to her that she's not really committed as she might have confessed she was committed. If it was, well, the king might buff you and might get embarrassed before some of the main servants in the court, she might say, I can take embarrassment, I'm going. But when it was going to cost her life, she didn't want to take that chance. Though the situation merited more than her life. Because not one Jew was going to be saved, not even the Jews in Israel. The Jews had went on to Babylon through captivity. Then when Babylon fell, the Medes and the Persians took over the chest of silver. Then Cyrus passed the decree to send the Jews back to the land. Everybody didn't go back. So it looked like a Mordecai and them bypassed the opportunity of God to go back into the land of their fathers. In that season. To go back into the land where the Abrahamic covenant was going to be in effect in their life. It looked like they wanted to live outside God provided way. But in that hour, he began to catch inspiration to see even their mistakes, even his failures. God was working all things together for good. In that very hour, he began to move into a channel of inspiration. To see that God had worked on the behalf, even though there was in God's permissive will, by staying back there. For God's perfect will is for a Jew to be in that land God gave Abraham. You see? And it meant that since the Medes and the Persians was ruling the world, there was the next world power after the head of gold. Then no Jew, whether in Israel or whether in that place, once there was under that kingdom. Because remember from the head of the gold to the toes of iron clay is Gentile dominion over Israel. Israel will be trodden down by the nations until the times of the Gentiles is finished. Then the rock smiting the toes brings back the kingdom of the son of David. It brings back Israel's dominion over Gentiles again. So that is what Mordecai says. He said, think you safe? You think your father's house safe? But as she began to realize, she went through a period of self-realization. She went through a period of deep consideration of herself, of what she value, of the hour, of what face her, of the decision she had to make, and it's what every one of us is going through this hour. It's what every one of us is confronted with in this very hour. Amen. Because watch, here it was. We took their Sunday and showing. This is a background for maybe 5-10 minutes, quickly. So just to catch the picture and put it back right there inside. Where we at? Notice I put the message and the inspiration in chapter 4. I'm not putting it in chapter 5. I'm not putting it back in the first 3 chapters. I'm standing in chapter 4, looking back and looking forward. I don't believe that we have received that baptism to bring that spoken word ministry into operation. I believe the dynamic is going to cap up the pyramid of your life, and that's going to usher in that new ministry. Amen. When the squeeze come, what the third pull then? But how far are we from the squeeze? How far are we? Because the widow with the meal on the oil and the two sticks is the squeeze. Is Jesus being rejected and coming to his crucifixion? 963 was rejected when the children said we're going to come together. And we were heading for the crucifixion. And we took that message, what am I doing with the anointed word for this day? And place us right in the air. Then look, the widow with the meal, Joseph in prison, all those things. It ties that ministry to the cross. And at the cross is where Christ must die. We have no ministry except he was dead and then he went to hell. And it brings a death there. It brings a real crucifixion of self. He died that we can live. Now we are dying that he can live inside of us for this ministry. And Paul says, for a greater supply of the Holy Spirit. See what it was? A greater supply of the Holy Spirit. That whether in life or in death, it don't matter. Whether in life, praise God. Whether in death, praise God anyhow. That Christ would be magnified in my body. Isn't that important if I live and Christ is magnified in my body? What is living? Is a form of death if Christ is not living through you. A woman who lives in pleasure while she's alive is dead while she's living. That's a church. Don't see natural man alone. That's the church. See? So then watch. He said that whether in life or in death, Christ magnified me. Because for me to live is Christ. And what is living? What is Christ living? The life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I am crucified with Christ. Not I live, but Christ liveth in me. And what is Christ? The anointed word for the age. Christ in the person does three things under the seventh seal. Amen. Christ living the prophet. That wasn't the prophet living. That was the faith of the Son of God. The third pull wasn't the gifts. That was the life of the gifts. That was the token on display. That was preeminences. That was the burnt offering. Christ was magnified in his body. Go back to the message of the absolute. That's where God has inspiration in the scripture from. But I'm using the absolute. Whether in life or in death, that Christ is magnified in his body. This mystical body, where the feminine spirit is being revealed. Christ is second Eve, being revealed in another body. Amen! Whether in life or in death, to show the mystery of works of his works, faith of his faith, virtue of his virtue, life of his life. Amen. All that he is, she is to manifest in this body. And many people, Esther, come to that realization. If she was going to live and say, all right, I'm going to let that bypass. I'm not going to get involved. I think that I'm supposed to commit myself to that. I ain't said that's my place. What that life would be for self. That life would be for self glorification. It would be for a selfish motive. It would not be in accordance with God's purpose. So it was death to begin with. It was a life living for self is really rejection of God's life. You catch that? Living for yourself is a rejection and a resistance to God's life. You see? So, she was in that kind of state. Oh yes, she's the queen. But you see, the bride who has chosen the bride, who has foreordained to be the bride in this hour, must come to that place now. To see the full victory of Christ be manifested in her, she must come to that place of complete surrender. Surrender to the very word. So watch. So when she said, if I perish, I perish. She was right there in that very hour where we are placed in our inspiration in chapter 4. Because we believe that we are standing there seeing that the hour has come, we must have power from the king to deliver our people. Our people even ourselves, need deliverance. And it can only come from the king. And Mordecai knew that the king is the one to release that. So Mordecai tell Esther, don't look to man. Don't look to this one. Don't look to that man over there. Don't stand and get this one. Don't even look to me. Amen. This hour. Go in the presence of the king. In other words, in that hour, she had to come under her headship. Amen. She had to come to the place. Because remember, Vashti, that seventh step right there. That capstone is the king. Head. Ahasuerus means head. Amen. After Vashti rejected Esther, amen, had to go into that presence. Between there is where she was called, where she was dressed, where she was in the crown of her head to know she was chosen. Because she is part of the mystery of the white rock. Amen. But that very dynamics working in and through her, because notice something, the king was the one who gave her the authority to use. Do it in my name. No, he releasing it. He's not doing it, but he's doing it through her. You do it. Amen. What do you say? You, Esther, execute the authority. I wanted to realize in that book of Esther, it speaks many times of the king's wrath. The king's wrath, the king's wrath, and the king's wrath went out in wrath, and the king's wrath was appeased after the king's wrath. Because after the seventh age, when Vashti was rejected, the king's wrath began to be revealed. The priest handed the prophet the book, where it was, the revealing of the king's wrath, because it's time for the day of vengeance. He threw the rock up in the air. After the Pentecost rejected the message, mercy was spoken, judgment was starting there, and the world made three blasts, and the west coast almost sunk. With the king's wrath, then the cloud was turned. What is happening? The king's wrath being revealed. Then the supreme judge. It was revealed in the ages. It was revealed after the rejection of Vashti, showing the wrath of the king in preview coming there. And watch Esther. She also executes judgment. Amen. Mercy for our people, but judgment to Haman's sons. Put them on the gallows. Amen. Mercy, you see, is redemption and judgment together. Coming to that bride in that very hour. And we took the book of Esther and show how it started off with Vashti's rejection. Vashti was rejected on the seventh day when the message came to her. Seven voices of the seven chamberlains sounded what was in the king's mind. They were revealing the headstone to Vashti, the will of God for that hour. They were showing her to do God a true service, but she had her own private programs. And she thought she was rich and increased with goods. She didn't have to subject to that message. She had a spirit of woman liberation upon her. Amen. A spirit of rebellion that she wouldn't subject herself to her head. She failed to catch the mystery of Ephesians 5. Wives being subjection to your own husbands. Amen. She couldn't live by every word. And the king said, you'll never come in my presence no more. Because the king's purpose was so important to the king. It was his one objective, his one goal, his one purpose was to display his queen. Amen. And notice, Esther wasn't even called during that time. Because before Vashti received the message of the seven voices, the king had his great feast showing his excellency and honor. That great healing revival, all those things going on. The king was displaying the glory of his riches. Then, after the signs and the excellency and honor, came a message. Seven voices, them seven chamberlains sounded that message. When it was rejected, the king's wrath was revealed. He says, you'll never come in my presence, eternal separation from the presence of God. Then it opened a new age after that message of them seven thunders. They choose a bride. The same message Vashti rejected is what we're going to call Esther. Amen. And they went out looking for character in the evening time. And they went out there choosing a bride for the king. And they had many, many was called. Amen. Many was called, but only one could be chosen. Amen. And here it is, that bride. When Esther turned, came, the Bible says, they were calling her by name because they couldn't come in except the name was called. And when her name was called, but she was going in there and she's already come out of
she had two periods, 2 6-month periods of preparation. 6 months of the oil of myrrh and 6 months of sweet odors. Everything that's sweetie, is myrrh to heaven. Hallelujah. Oil of myrrh. And brother, many people can't take the oil of myrrh. They love all the sweet odors. Amen. But after she come with them 6 months of oil of myrrh, sweet odors, then she come to the presence of the king. And all from 1976, we coming through there. God loves the anointing to die. Amen. Oil of myrrh. The bride victory is death itself. How many of France remember that? Amen. See, and way back in France Street, I was inspiration. When I walk in that funeral home today, and I saw the dead woman on Coffee Street, and God wake up in the middle of the night and say, what did you see today? And I came out and began to preach the message what real death is. 1976. Amen. Then we come into the stage of sweet odors. Amen. And brother, they begin to sing, we smell the fragrance coming in the breeze. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Then 1981. Amen. 1980. 1980, in the presence of the king. And the king looked and said, this is her. This is my bride. She began to get revelations to know she's not just another concubine. She is chosen. Revelation, the great mystery of love expressed in the king. Person, show us a revelation fall in 1980. And our eyes are made to see our own prophecy. And the Bible says, and he made a feast, and he called it Esther Feast. Hallelujah! Esther Feast. She was only feasting on the revelations of her own self. That she is queen. She had the crown. She was chosen. She was a nobody. Amen. But the king wanted a queen. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Amen! For such a time like this, she didn't go back in the land of her fathers back there. But she left back for that time. And, brother, it just seemed that the predestined mystery of God's will unfolded her life. That the message Vashti rejected, she out there, she didn't even know Vashti rejected a message. Hallelujah! Esther never knew them seven chamberlains who were revealing the mystery of the king in 1963. She didn't even know that. She didn't know the king put away Vashti. But we all, the world, want to go to Tibet. We want to go all about. Hallelujah. Esther thinking all kinds of different thoughts. All of that different plans. But there's a plan for her to fit into. Amen. Up in Santa Cruz, the king's servants found me. Amen. Glory be to God. Found me. Amen. Then I've been called. Amen. Had to come to my time of preparation. My oil of myrrh. All those things, amen. Coming through the air. What it was. Then they recognize now, we are brought into a place that they reject back there. After the great feast, they reject something. We are brought to that. We couldn't do nothing else. Our life, many of us who could, might have opportunity to go away. Many of us who might almost die in some accident. Many of us who might end up somewhere in some other business. But now we find out God protected us because the king was looking for a queen. Amen. All these revelations of the king were seeing you. You didn't even know it. Hallelujah. You didn't even know it. The king began to reveal these things to her. And brother, she rejoiced. She's the queen. She's moving about with authority. And because she's the queen, she's respected. Amen. Wherever she goes in the province. Glory! Wherever she goes. In the king provinces. Amen. And she walked like a queen. And they said, my, I tell you that queen, boy. Amen. But many look at the crown. And they watch the crown and they see all them jewels and treasures of wisdom. Amen. All them riches, amen, of his glory in that crown. That you have on her head there. When you speak about royal authority. Knowing she's the queen. Because you know the lioness is the one who is the real bad one. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And brother, wherever she goes. Amen. And they see Queen Esther. But she's displaying her queenship. but she's not really but manifesting the power it will take yet to deliver her people. But she knows she's queen, and she lives and she has that queen air about her. Her comportment, amen. The way she walks, the way she talks, the way she acts, the way she speaks about the king. Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The very vestia that the king have dressed her in. Amen. I get my men of concubines. They say, oh gosh, you beat us to it. Amen. Men with jealousy, watch out with envy and rage. Men that say, I put you on she, my leg bigger. The king only wants a bigger leg. The king was looking at faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience. Hallelujah! Many say, well, I find my eyes, you know, I have kind of a great eyes, you know, thinking of watching a great, he watching an eye that can see his mystery. Yeah. Hallelujah! Glory be to God, amen! Many of them with a high heel on the bob here, so I can't understand how she beat me. He said, well, you wanted something more than what he tell you to go in with, amen! You like to add and take away. You take away a big part of the here, and you add a big part of the here. Amen. You're out of the book for that. Amen. Hallelujah. You should obey exactly what the messenger say. All the nominational spirit looking for a court to find it and find that. And then many people who have the same worldly spirit spraying you. Amen. Because they want a partner in the thing and you're so carnal. Amen. You have a carnal appetite. You cast these carnal people anointing and influencing you. Amen. See, but Esther thinking was filtered. She observed them when they walk in and walk back out with their face down, say, concubine. Head to the house. Head to the house. Next one. Next. Oh, my. All kind of funny revelations they come up with. But brother, when the rest of the principal team break forth, was revealing the queen, amen. How a queen should be, everything the bride should be, amen. A greater than Esther, greater than Ruth, greater than Sarah, greater than Rebecca, greater than Rahab. Hallelujah! A greater than Mary, everything the bride should be. Not all kind of funny revelations. What day come in and whether 1963 is going to happen or in a rain and out of rain and whether they can wear different kind of clothes and underclothes, all kind of different things. Amen. It's the people who want to walk and express the feminine part. When the king saw that, he saw the real bride. There's something about this one different. Just like the prophet said, the prophet tells about the slave. The king says something about this one different. Amen. She ain't trying to create no impression. She knows the king. And brother Shelby herself. Because she all hit the eye and tell her on influence. Nobody can take your place. You can't take nobody place. Don't try to impersonate. The third pull is to be yourself. Hallelujah! Glory! Brother, she went in there. He said, now remember, Esther. God in simplicity. Amen. He said, gold does glow, iron pyrite does shine. Watch it now, Esther. Nothing shiny. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He said, not all these sort of pulls and chain and costly. A meek and quiet spirit. Hallelujah. She was obedient to the word. Amen. The king looked at her. He said, this is her. He began to put the crown, personal attention. This thing began to happen. And she now began to go to explain, why is the king doing this to me? Does this mean that I am chosen? Until it was settled down in her heart that she was chosen. But watch. Then when the political order changed, now I'm going to stop there. Oh, we come to a lot of nice experiences down through the years. We build right up to a great climax here. Oh, we've seen so many great truths. We decked in all the royal way. Amen. We are walking stately. Amen. We see the concubines and we know there's concubines. We look for the queenship and it's not there. We look for the queen spirit, it's not there. We look for the mystery of the feminine spirit, it's not there. We know they miss it somewhere. The king didn't give no approval. See? So then she knows she has confidence in herself. But then her real ministry, the real purpose she was there for, wasn't just to become queen. Was that, but that not just to know her position, but there was a work to be accomplished by and through her. No, a lot of people just want to know, well, I saved. Oh, I'm the son of God, I'm the daughter of God. It's not just that. You call for a purpose. It's a work to be accomplished. It's a ministry to be fulfilled. It's something, a responsibility we have to accept. But when that hour came down to the place, that great plot had developed to such a place, she didn't even know it. But Mordecai was the one who, you see, Mordecai had to get it first. Even though she's the queen, Mordecai had to get it first. And she had to get it from him. And even Mordecai had known it, yet Mordecai wasn't speaking to her directly, he was speaking to Hathach. And Hathach was saying back to her, the Bible says, and Hathach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Not Larkin and Scofield, the words of Mordecai. Not what Luther and Wesley say, the words of Mordecai. Hathach had no own message of his own. He said the words of Hathach. He was reiterating vigorously the words of Mordecai. Amen. Came there and they began to preach. And that's what I want to focus in here for the next few minutes. What's the message that was being preached to her in that hour? To the bride that is called, to the bride that is dressed, to the bride who knows her position, revealed to her by the king, but not yet receiving full authority to deliver her people. There was a message directed to her. It was to awaken her consciousness to recognize something that was happening that she was unconscious of. It was not revelation so much now that she was the queen. She had that revelation already. It was given to her on the principal team. It was given to her in my custom division. It was given to her in the unveiling the masterpiece. It was given to her in all these things. But now, the message was awakening her to something that she might commit herself fully and realize the real purpose that all those revelations and all those experiences she have had, what really was for. The message was directed and laid in that particular place. And the message was the uncovering of the plot of the enemy, how he had moved and he was getting ready to bring destruction. Then she saw why she needed authority from the king. What's going to do with authority? Just what authority was. It had a purpose now why she needed. For the enemy was coming. She needed something to face the challenge. That message was going to show why she needed to go in the presence of the king. But under that message, she found herself in a predicament. She found herself in a situation where she wanted to resist the responsibility that was being entrusted upon her. Because the message wasn't just a message of revelation of what the enemy was doing. It was a message of revelation of what the enemy was doing, but showing her, giving her a responsibility that was going to be so much even to the extent of laying down her life. A lot of us like revelation, but don't demand responsibility. But that message, you can say, oh boy, Mordecai really had the revelation sealed. Look how he uncovered the enemy's scheme. Haman must be howling because his scheme is uncovered. It takes a prophet to reveal that. That wasn't it. When she saw it, it meant that's why God raised your best self. Because you know how to step out yet. I can't come back and go and pray for it. Have no seven voices to call you because you don't call way back there early. You have to act on inspiration. Amen. You have to go in there. You have to recognize you raise up for such a time as this. Your faith, your inspiration, motivating you, going to depend upon the revelation, what all the experiences have been. You don't know what God worked in your life from the rejection of Vashti this time. You have no motivation for that new ministry. You can live a good moral life. You can go about talking like queen talk, acting like queen. But that's as far as your life will go. But when that has been inspired to you, a gear that you've built up with and never used yet, that revelation is a push in that gear. Amen! Have an overdrive inside of you. Amen! Have some extra power, some hidden power down inside of you. Amen! Your faith is going to find a source now. It's going to activate something inside of you to bring out what you really are in a time of crisis. What great pulsation of faith go to work. When a state emergency begins to come in, what desperation set in. And watch faith take a hold when desperation is pushing it. Now watch. Now watch something. Mordecai, with his prophetic insight, we took Sunday how Haman was revealing the world council of Revelation 13, because Ahasuerus, the king, Ahasuerus, was Revelation 10:1. Mordecai, Revelation 10:7. Esther, Revelation 8:11. Vashti was rejected, Revelation 3:14-22, the Laodicea church. Haman, Revelation 13. Zeresh, the fallen star, who behind him to build the gallows to kill Mordecai and persecute the Jews. See, Revelation 17. And Mordecai mean a little man, and he pack a big message. Amen. Hallelujah. And Esther mean a star. A little out of orbit, but then under that message we get set in a course. Because a star is a sign of a season. And then Haman mean he who prepares. And Abaddon was really preparing. He was gathering his legions of devils. His little group that's riding with him, coming to for a great slaughter. But while he's riding, there's another group riding also. Amen. Then Vashti mean beautiful. Beautiful, yes, with all the rope choirs and carpet and plush pews and tall steeples. Beautiful. But wicked in her heart. Outward beauty. See? And Ahasuerus meant prince, chief, head. The headstone, the chief authority, the prince of peace. Now watch something. And right inside of there, that great scene, how it unfolds from the rejection of the Pentecostal church down to this time. Now it happened, always happening there, has happened here, up to this point. It has happened up to this point. And we live out part of the history unknowing. And God, in the last two services, uncovered to us that we didn't live out that part. Then, if you didn't fail to match that part, then here you are in this situation. And the message that was preached back there, it wasn't Mordecai himself preached to Esther. It was Hatash reiterating what Mordecai had said. Amen. He was telling her the words of Mordecai. Did they use Hatash? Yes. Amen. I heaven. I am serious. Amen. He touched me a gift. He gave gifts. Ephesians 4, he gave gifts. That gift in the body. What is the gift for? To reiterate what the prophet said. Any minister in the fivefold is touch. Not I alone. Any true gift. Hallelujah. That find a place. Hatash was one of the king chamberlains whom he had appointed to attend unto the queen. Hallelujah. One of the king chamberlains whom he appointed to attend unto the queen. And that one who was attending to the queen, who the king appointed, was repeating back the words of Mordecai. Hallelujah. When? After the rejection of Vashti and before the squeeze. Hallelujah! Where are the people reiterating what Mordecai said? Where are those that the king appoint to attend to the bride before the squeeze? Who going to reiterate the message to put in inspiration to get the authority? There must be people like that. I don't want to enjoy it and lose myself in it. Hallelujah! Glory! If it's happening, it's happening! Amen. Hallelujah. So look, so during that time here was a message. But Mordecai knew he could tell Esther message. He could tell about her father. He could tell about the captivity. He could go back into the history. I heard it went on in Babylon. You know, that was the time of your age. Because Jeremiah prayed that when they seek God on their heart, he will bring them back here, give the restoration back to the Ephesians. Take desperation by Ramtic Jeremiah 29 and tie it like that. Church coming to Babylon, then coming back to the right place. You gotta go back in the church ages and give a great sermon in the church ages. But Mordecai knew it's not all the church ages and all the other things. She needed to understand the urgency of the matter. She needed to understand why she was raised up. Why she was raised up was locked up from the rejection of Vashti down to that hour. So he had to preach that mystery for such a time like this, you come to the kingdom. He knew that was going to break the shackles and the chains of fears and doubts in her mind and give her victory over the mind battles. When she began to see the real purpose she was there for, he knew it should break the strong barrier. Hallelujah! Like a real spiritual astronaut, she will cut all ties and step out against your power pack. Amen! Go in the presence of the king. He knew he was going to get a charge from that message. So he told Hatach certain things about Esther to tell about herself. Hallelujah! He told Hatach certain things about what the enemy was doing that Esther must know and understand to know the lateness of the hour. Not just enjoy a palace life in the presence of the king, eat nice food, walk about. No, sir. She must understand what's happening on the outside and see how it ties into her life and experience. Amen. Now notice, Hatach, he knew not to add to Mordecai's message. He knew just to say what Mordecai said at that hour, because he began himself with getting it first to bring it to Esther. He knew the importance of saying exactly what Mordecai said. Amen. So Mordecai, as he began to unfold to Hatach, all about how it had a whole money scheme behind it. The money proposition means to propose a scheme. But the money proposition is a scheme that involves money. That is tied up into the persecution. The day I want to get the message, you know. I get an inspiration that I want to pull one of the tracks again. Because I feel that the things that happened, what I saw in Esther, that was the message you preached during that hour. And that message opened it, pushed her into the channel, rather, to go and receive the power to deliver people. It was that message. It gave her the reason why she had to get there, why she had to get in quickly. That is the message throwing the desperation. The other message make her rejoice. Seeing herself, and she had to yes to feast. But that message throwing the desperation. So, when he begins to unfold the hate ash, the money proposition, the persecution, how to tie it together, and that composed the diabolical plot that the enemy had in mind to destroy the Jews, the elect. Then Hathach, in that hour, began to speak back the words of Mordecai to the queen so she could understand the season, the time, and the events, what it really was. She might read the decree, but didn't get the full sentence. And because she was unconscious of that mystery that was already rapidly unfolding and materializing quickly, and that was causing danger to their people and throwing desperation, many to desperation, bringing pressure upon many. And when Hathach sung that message to her, she didn't get caught up right away. And I don't believe everybody gonna get caught up right away. He ain't it all now. Many say they see it. I am not questioning whether they see it. We're talking about your behavior now. Not the confession of your revelation. We're talking about your behavior. Because in the air, it showed when she heard the message, it wasn't his message. It wasn't Hathach's message. He was speaking about the words of Mordecai. But she begin to resist in her mind and oppose what Mordecai's words were. She maybe even get vexed at Hathach when he begins to raise his voice at some of the things, because he's coming under the effect of the message. He's fresh from the mouth of Mordecai off the tip. Amen! And she found it difficult. She found it difficult to accept the responsibility that the words of Mordecai demanded of her. It was a responsibility to the extent the rest her entire life and being was surrendered to them words. Nothing could happen. The people were in danger just as before the message had been spoken to her. The message didn't come meet her when the king really, it didn't coincide with a call from the king. So it wouldn't cost her nothing. If the message comes to her and say, hey, praise God, is the king really? I suppose going to the king this evening. Thank you. I will give him a hint while I go in there at the same time. No. The message come to her that when she had to go in meant her life. It could cost her life. Not going in when it costing her nothing. And it wasn't someone not to go in the presence of the king, because she loves to go in the presence of the king as a husband, as a headship. But the thing was, what was going to cost her? And she was considering the consequences of what could happen to her more than the enemy was getting ready to destroy her people. She was leaning more on her life in danger than leaning more than all my people. A little spirit of selfishness, self-centeredness, self-opinionated, seeing it with your own eyes, because that little way had a lock up in the world. And because she was there, she couldn't enter into the real realm of the purpose she was raised upon. Because Mordecai wasn't asking favors. He wasn't pleading and said, oh bride, please go in first. We're going to die if you don't help us. He wasn't preaching that. He was trying to get her to accept her responsibility. He was, because he was picking a revelation, she raised up for that purpose. When you look at Esther, and you see the squeeze coming, and you see she's the bride, she's the only royal apparel, she's the only crown, she's the one chosen king, she's going to have that revelation from the king herself. She's going to have them experiences. Then you raise up for that. And what come in the air? You're going to more than face it. God reserve you for this hour. That is how he was talking. But she, in another frequency, was thinking he asked for your favor. And she was looking more at what it's going to cost her. And when the word comes to many people, they think it'd be begging them to do something. They think the minister may demand their life and try to control their life and they can't live their own life. And when the world is trying to let you know that the bride in the Bible is raised up in this hour for this very purpose. And when that word comes to you, it's not to tell you, you know, please go and do it now. Please live for God now. Please go out in the world. Please come early and pray now. Isn't that? That's far from a million miles from it. It was something that required to put a life on the line. And when it confronted her, it brought up the hidden fears. It brought up the unconscious unbelief. And she, of her own self, had to pull along them strongholds. And say, I will fully commit myself to the purpose of God. But I realize the word is begging nothing of me. The word is showing me what I raised up for. That is God's will for me. That is your purpose unto this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? For this cause came I unto this hour. Amen. See, now watch. And while she begin to get into the understanding of why Vashti was rejected, why she was chosen, why the king dealt with her the way he dealt with her, when those revelations are caught inside of her, she began to realize that really and truly, it is God, with God behind it. It's not I didn't choose it, I didn't plan that. When I had nobody out in the street, I couldn't think that one day I'd stand between the living and the dead. She couldn't think it. It was unthinkable. So what's something? So here was a time when that revelation was being preached to her to uncover the plot of the enemy. And she really began to see the shrewdness. And she really began to see the people didn't stand a chance. They were doomed. They're going to be helpless if someone can't get into the king's presence and find favor before the king, and come back out with the authority that will take over the people. I wonder if under the word being preached to us in Saul, it's taken us up into the realm where we've seen the real purpose that message has to be uncovered in this hour to uncover the scheme of the enemy. And if that, the preaching of that message, just like the other one that was preached her before, showing her she was chosen, showing her she's queen. But now being preached and showing her, this is the ministry I must step into. And brother, it threw her into desperation. That same message will do the same thing for us. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I want to tie up in writing here. I took it with the scripture here because it has to do something with the squeeze. Mordecai began to unfold how the money was tied up into the persecution and that composed the plot to destroy the people. And this is where the squeeze is moving in and the things that identify the squeeze before the eyes of the people, but because they don't know the word, they're looking for the squeeze still. everybody looking for the rapture, and the rapture going on. Let me tell you, if you don't know Revelation, you won't know the rapture going on already. Because you're not part of the rapture. But if it's part of the rapture, you know it's going on, and it's going on in you. Because Revelation 10, 8, 11, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the voice of the archangel is being inspired to you and being revealed to you. That's why you know it is a continuation of eternal life. It is the life moving on, bringing out the further part of the word. The mystery between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet being unfolded to prove to you your name is in the Lamb's book. So in the same way, the squeeze is unfolding and people look and they see no squeeze. And they complain about the inflation and they complain about the devaluation and they are arguing about this and they want to get into the union and they're being tempted to get in there because they have rent to pay and they can do the extra money and they cut out the cola and they vex about it. For me, to live is Christ. That is the cost of living. You gotta die to yourself to live. Amen. The cost of living is to die. It's to allow the world to live inside of you. That is your cost of living. Allowance. Amen. That's a real, real cool of it. What kind of life you're pulling for? And the same way they're being caught up in that inspiration, in the same way they're being caught up in the squeeze, because they have no revelation. And when those things is preached to them, it affects them more than when the word is preached to them, because the life in them responds to that. They're quicker to get caught up in the politics and those things and start a march and protest and different things. And live out the behavior that was being preached to them because the life in them responds to that and goes back to that. And when the word preached for them to live out, if I perish, I perish. I'm going anyhow in the presence of the king. The only way they can live out that is the life in them is part of that. Because we're in the hour here. We're in that hour. It looks reasonable to them. And those false anointed ones, when they begin to preach the structure of the revelation of Satan Eden, it has looked to them really like there is an injustice. Them false anointed union leaders is making plain. May God make this right between plain to you too. Let us give them their eyes out to see their promises. To get them take up in their spirit. To get their support. Because why? It looks reasonable to them. And they caught up and they're giving their piece, another piece of say, and then all them little imps coming along them at lunchtime and getting them a lot of old talk. And before they use the word, the opportunity to testify the word and let them know there's no hope here. And this world is falling apart economically, socially, morally, education. It's falling apart. But never rise no more. It's doom. The bride is looking for rapture and faith to leave this place. Amen. You find it. They get into again, and they find so, and they find this, and they find the NAR, and they find the PNM, and they find this, and they find the OWTU one. Amen. But watch. If I perish, I perish. Glory! Where's the people who have that anointing? I'm going anyhow in the presence of the king. It was really the victory of over self. It was when Jesus said, it is finished. It looked like he was defeated, but that was a shout of victory. He laid on his life for his friends. He You're the cross unto death. The promise was sure. Amen. The power of the enemy is broken. He bruised his head at the cross. And when she said, I perish. It meant her mind battled about going in and how she valued her life and how she was trying to say, but look, I find a court under the king's law over in the conduct order and doctrine. It says, but you can die for that. You can die for that if it's not the queen, you know, whatever she was for. But the king himself also said, this bride is indestructible. Not even death could harm her. Amen. Hallelujah. She's eternal as the king is eternal. Amen. So, brother, when she said, if I perish, I perish, it meant no. She had counted the cost. She was willing to pay the price. Her life meant nothing. All her little values, all her little ambitions, all the little appointments as queen, the little tour she's going to be able to go on as queen, and you know, all of the little things she was hoping didn't get interrupted, them little programs. She recognized that was just a little benefit to the time. This is the real purpose she raised up for. Amen. Hallelujah. And brother, she had conquered her greatest enemy. Because it wasn't Haman fighting at all. It wasn't Mordecai trying to control her mind. It wasn't Hathach trying to dominate her. Her problem was your own mind battle. To subject to the word. And when the word come forth in that hour, she found that her own enemy was her own self. And her victory was when she could take that self and put it on the altar. Lay that head down. Amen. And get the mind of Christ being revealed to Mordecai. Amen. Get the right God of the loins and mind with truth. When she get her inwards washed in water and all the little riches and all the little privileges and benefits as queen, but was nothing compared to the life of her people. And that feet that wanted to turn aside the path and they want to take the straight and narrow to the hard way, begin to walk down to Jordan. Hallelujah! Amen. And brother, all the fat, everything was laid on the altar. All the riches, everything was laid down there. She was willing to be consumed to ashes. To come before the king as a sweet smelling savor. Like he said, this is my beloved bride whom I'm pleased to dwell in. Yee-haw! Amen! Glory be to God! When the king saw that life, the fragrance of that life, amen. But the aroma filled the throne room. Hallelujah! Ahasuerus was in silence. He was awed. The harpers stopped harping. Amen. But the musicians are playing everything. And Ahasuerus was stunned. Amen. He began to look at his own reflection. He began to look at the mystery that he wanted to display on the 7-day personalized before him. What he thought Vashti could have been was fully expressed, was embodied in Esther. He looked at your feet. He looked at his own feet. But he looked at your eyes. Look at his own eyes. He looked how she walked in there. Amen. Look at the humility and the grace. Hallelujah! But under the atmosphere there, he had to break the silence. Only when he was speaking, he gave her right title. Because she came dressed in the royal apparel. Amen. And listen, quickly, let's check and close. Oh, it's so good. If I perish, I perish. That's what the message is. To bring that commitment. This message is being preached to you in the hour when we see the diabolical plot of the enemy moving in, and we see them three powers united, we know what they're coming for. And when we see them coming, a message is being preached to you to awaken within you the real purpose you raised up for, and to let you see that whether you're going to be fully committed and truly determined to see the real purpose that you raised up for be fulfilled through you. And this message, open up in the book of Esther here, is to anoint you and release the inspiration upon you to bring that commitment in your heart, to give it a spirit of a bodily kindness, to lay your life down for your brother, amen. To go in there on behalf of your people, amen. She wasn't going there for herself. She was going there for her loved ones. Hallelujah! She wanted to see the king speak in their favor. Had a promise that bind to the members of the bride will finish his work. Amen. Hallelujah. I will keep in the hour of temptation. Now you're speaking here on this little thing in the church's book, 312 about 314, and you're somewhat first says, because God kept the word of my patience. Amen. He says, now what does he mean by the word of his patience? We have kept our word of his patience these past 20 something years. When this squeeze come, watch the third pole then. Oh, we're looking for that third pole. But we have to be patient, come along with it. Many guys that jump up and pull it into manifestation before the appointed time, end up a wreck at the wayside trying to make a scripture work and see the prophet make work and they can't make it work because it's not inspired to them. Because they don't know the word the way the prophet knew it to make it work. But that revelation had to come in the second cycle to make the bride recognize what part of the bridegroom she is, not somebody else's part. Amen. So he said, what does he mean by the word of his patience? Hebrews 6, 13 to 15. For when God made promise to Abraham, because you swear, I know greatly, swear by himself, saying, surely bless and I will bless thee, multiply and I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He says, you see, the Spirit is speaking about the word of God, which is given to us to wait for the fulfillment of that word. Required patience, even as it did in the case of Abraham. He said, the Spirit of God is speaking to us about the word of God which is given to us. To wait for the fulfillment of that word which is given to us requires patience. Abraham had to wait 25 years from 1963 when his 24th year, waiting still. Waiting for that promise. Waiting in patience. Amen. He endured as him who is invisible. Amen. He was patient and then the word was finally fulfilled. This is the way God teaches his people patience. Why? If he fulfilled his word in a physical manifestation, the very instant you prayed, you would never learn patience. But you would become even more impatient with life. Because you want everything to happen that way. And that is what the spirit of television have pushed people into. Everything instant. Speed up. All the changes of life, fashion changing every day, motor cars changing every month, but the house is changing almost every week. Designs, everything is changing. In 75 years, they changed from horse and buggy to astronaut. Now they're changing from civilization, the earth to the sky, Star Wars and all these different things. He says it has thrown the people into a neurotic age. All the changes, they can't keep up with it because they even change the process for the growth of food and life and these things. By hybridization and they breed a weaker race of people who can't keep up with the mental strain and make them neurotic. You see? So then when they'll be patient, he said, what they'll become? He says, let me show you. Amen. This was the way God used to be patient. Why did he fulfill his word in a physical manifestation? He says, the very instant you prayed, you would never learn patience, but would become even more impatient with life. And then he quotes how Abraham, after Abraham was tried, he received the word of promise. Most things, as soon as he prayed in Jesus' name over the good promise of God, that there could not be a trial. But here it says that Abraham was tried after he received the promise. That is exactly correct according to the psalmist referring, get it now, to Joseph. Psalms 105 verse 19, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Isn't that what preach right here to you? Tried, and how he learned patience, when he tried to get the butler to go and put in a word to him and go and wipe it out of the butler mind, and he had to wait 2 years, learning patience, let patience have his perfect work, he might be entire wanting nothing, don't just preach here right here, waiting for his word visions of himself, to be fulfilled in the appointed season. See? But from the time we pray until we get the answer, we must learn to receive patience in our souls, for only in patience do we possess life. May God help us to learn this lesson. Even as we know the people of the sixth age learn patience. We read, well, Selena, she was telling me something about patience last night. We read the history of the lives of these great Christians. What a contrast we see between their lives and ours. For they were so patient and quiet. But today, we are all but overcoming over impatience and haste. Didn't Sarah get that way? And she tried to manufacture something outside God's creative will? Overcame impatience and haste. Because they don't want to die, but real faith will give real patience. If it's a revelation, the gate of hell cannot prevail. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait in the testing time and the trying time. When you're going to approve, you're not like Eve. You're going to wait for the promise in season. He said, we have to wait here until that caps up with this. 10 years for the third pole then. How much to wait? How much time to get third pole and that caps up with this yet? But here it is moving in now. Here it is when the other people perish or perish. Men still have mind battles. When the world trying to uncover the plan and show how fight it is, how urgent the matter is, how desperate they should be. So should they really come to that place to lay their life down if they feel that way for the people more than their own self? Or is it still me and me and I and me and me and I and me? And can't come out of that yet. Still have that big superiority complex. See? He says now. But now here we go again, the overlapping of the ages. So this promise has to do with the end of the Gentile period, which culminates in the Great Tribulation. It has to do with the end of the Gentile period and it culminates in the Great Tribulation. This is what I'm speaking about. Esther saw something that created desperation. It was a specific thing because Mordecai said, take this copy of the decree and uncover to her what this means. How Mordecai told him all of the half month and of the exact sum of money. Mordecai was going to preach to her how the money was involved in it. I tied into the persecution and destruction of a people. And Hatash began to reiterate the words of the money issue and the persecution to destroy the people. Now that money proposition is what we want to uncover, maybe in the next couple of services, to show you, I preached it here in 1982, if you can remember, what the third pole then, and the money proposition, and how it's going to come in, and how America sold to the Vatican, the people don't know it yet. And it is Jezebel writing it in Ahab's name and still Ahab's deal. And people think it's America, but they don't know. And that went against costing all kinds of different things too. Remember, it's not Esther representative of herself alone in the end. What is going to perform for it is on the screen. The power is tied to the squeeze. The prophet said no squeeze, he said no third pole. It's tied in the air. Great pulsation of faith. Go to work in the time of crisis. In that Moses had access to God. Amen! He broke into the channel and just stand still and you see the glory of God. Joshua fighting the battle when all them 10 kings come against him. Then when they confront against Israel, in that place, the sun stands still in the line of duty. When the Sanhedrin and them were tightened up in Jerusalem, when 5,000, 3,000 had come into church, when after the Holy Ghost fell, and God performed that miracle and the speech come down, it's then God will begin to move in Jerusalem. You see, it's when Micaiah went to them to preach. He wasn't preaching in the church, what was going on. Ahab was there. Zedekiah was there. The demons was coming inside of them. We're getting to throw him into prison. And while they're getting the camera, he's in the bed of prison, he was throwing the message inside of him. That's the way he's throwing out the message. Do you see where we are heading into? Do you see how God opens the scripture in the season? If we're going to Gideon, and the three powers coming, and God didn't open this, then something will be wrong. Because the same plot to destroy. Amen. If God didn't open up Micaiah, something will be wrong. Because the same ministry had to go forth, and so Elijah said. Just like Hathach the same as Mordecai said. You know what I'm saying? This is a mystery of prophecy to the church. This is not a sermon, you know. This. He said that Holy Spirit, the great Joshua, will come among the people and reveal these deep secret things to get them ready to go out. Is that Spirit coming to the church to take the word and open it up so the church will be anointed and be ready to move out? Someone you enjoy, you know, sir. But in a fearful hour, we're in a straight year to accept his life, to reject his death. He's in a fearful place. Amen. I will keep you from the hour of temptation shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. This verse is not a declaration that the true church will go in and through the tribulation period. He said, I don't mean that at all. If it meant that, it would have said that. But it said, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. This temptation is exactly like the temptation in Eden. And the temptation in Eden was Satan, a devil incarnate, preaching another Jesus to Adam's bride, and Adam, who was waiting for a spoken word ministry. Is that correct? It will be a very inviting proposition, held up in direct opposition to God's commanded word, and yet, from the standpoint of human reasoning, it will be so very right, so enlightened and life-giving as to fool the world. Only the elect will not be fooled. The temptation will come as follows. Hear Mordecai and cover the plot. See Hathach say back what Mordecai says. The temptation will come as follows. The ecumenical move. I want to get something in that because I preached that in praying strongly the week when I went up there. And show you how it is the fallen star, Satan incarnate in people right now, is the ecumenical move. And the ecumenical move is not the image of the beast. It becomes the image of the beast. It is the unfolding of the mystery of the image of the beast. That's what I'm saying. The speech of is already happening. The rapture is already happening. The image of the beast is already happening. The mark of the beast is always here. It only manifested at a later time. But they already taken to reject the Holy Ghost. So that's why I see these things. You have to have the token now to examine it. Now! You have to have your senses exercised to discern good and evil now. Don't feel tired, amen? We're finishing up, amen. I'm finished, I'm just want to read out, so don't slouch. Get up in your seat, amen. Fasten your eyes. Have your ears peeled, amen. The ecumenical movement that has started on what seems such a beautiful and blessed principle, fulfilling Christ's prayer that we all might be one. One love, one people, one church. Becomes so strong politically. That we all be one. Becomes so strong politically that she bears pressure upon the government to cause all to join with her, either directly or through adherence to principles enacted into law. She will bear pressure on the government to cause all to join with her, either directly or indirectly, through adherence to principles enacted into law. In other words, they're going to put forth the principles to the government. We'll put pressure on the government to make it legislation. When it becomes legislation, they're going to force the church to want to line up, to either line up or be persecuted. Is that what Haman is doing? Is that what Mordecai said? So that no people be recognized as actual churches. You see what it is to do? To take away your recognition. You will not be recognized as actual churches unless under direct or indirect domination of this council. Little groups will lose charters, privileges, until they lose all property and spiritual rights with the people. For example, right now, unless the local ministerial association approves, in many, if not most cities, one cannot rent a building for religious services. To become chaplains in the armed services, hospitals, it is now almost mandatory to be recognized as acceptable to the Trinitarian ecumenical groups. As this pressure increases, and it will, you know, there's land already designated Santa Rosa for ecumenical church. It was proposed after the Pope came here. As this pressure increases, and it will be harder to resist, for to resist is to lose privilege. And so many will be tempted to go along, for they will feel it is better to serve God. Esther was faced with that temptation. But she said, "I perish, I perish." And so many will be tempted to go along, for they will feel it is better to serve God publicly in the framework of this organization than not to serve God at all publicly. You see, you'll have to compromise on some of your teachings. And some people will feel, after all, those teachings are so important. Like you might say, "Brother Bram, just don't mention the water baptism in my Jesus." You know, preach about salvation and the love of God. Like in Seventh-day Adventist. They had a lot of teaching against Rome. But now all the teaching is marathon, don't drink, don't smoke, a lot of health. And they covered all that teaching. When they had a big meeting, these things, what did they do? Show you how cigarette is cancerous. Why? Eating food, don't eat meat, and all kinds of different things. Because they sold out and they compromised the teaching. He said, "No, they will not be able to serve God publicly." Does it mean the church will have to go underground? When they close us down here, does it mean the church will have to go underground? So all who are the hold on to the arm of flesh, when the world doesn't get personal revelation now, is the hour of personal vindication. So when that hour comes, you ain't looking for this one to chain you up. You ain't going to wind you up. No, sir. Amen. Is an invisible union going to become visible between you and your head? See? But they are to believe the devil is to serve Satan, even though you may want to call him Jehovah. But the elect will not be deceived. Furthermore, the elect will not be kept, will not only be kept, but as this move becomes the image erected of the beast, I believe this revelation is to keep us and is already keeping us from the hour of temptation. How does it keep you? By faith. Peter says you are kept by faith to the power of God. Read the revelation last time. Is that correct? What is faith? His revelation. His word. Keeping you. Keeping you where? In the way. Don't wiggle off. Don't wiggle off. Keep you in the way. The saints will be gone in the rapture. As this move becomes the image erected unto the beast, that move will become the image erected unto the beast. The saints will be gone in the rapture. And this little delightful winsome movement that started in fellowship with Ephesus will become the monster of Satan that defiles and deceives the whole world. For the church system of the Roman Catholic and the Protestants coming together will control the wealth of the world system and will force the whole earth into its religious trap, or will kill them by refusing the privilege of buying and selling whereby they would make a living. This will be accomplished simply for the harlot daughters are all but gone back to her. In the meantime, Romans acquired nearly all the supplies of gold. The Jews have all the bonds and the paper at the right time. The harlot will destroy the present-day money system by calling all the paper and demanding gold. With no gold, the system falls. The Jews will be trapped and come into alliance, and the harlot church will take over the whole world. Sorry, I have a lot to go to my lips this Sunday morning to continue on that money proposition. Because when that message is being preached, and the money and the persecution, and it's being tied into why she was raised in that hour, it pushed her and give her the motivation to separate from everything, overcome herself, and enter into the presence of the King to receive power to deliver our people. It put into her the commitment for our people. It make her deny herself completely. It give her victory. Amen. She called, "If I perish, I perish." Let's all stand up. So much is there. That is the second part. We continue Sunday morning. If I perish, I perish. Until we all could speak by revelation. Until we live on the state our life speaks it. Until our very action, our walk, amen, expresses there's no self around. There's no human spirit. It's all consumed by the fire of that message. Their mind, their fruits have been blown out. And she comes a prisoner to the words of Mordecai. Amen. Then when she goes in the presence of the king, then watch. Now you, I told you, I said, after the burnt offering, what followed? The harvest ring. God and Morphe for the final rise. After you offered the burnt offering, the Holy Spirit came down. Amen? The sword of the Lord of Gideon. After she offered, after she killed it, I perish, she received the scepter. Whatever you do, do it in my name. Amen! No man shall reverse it. She began to display the king's authority. Just like when the scepter was put in her hand, so the sword dropped down to Gideon's hand because someone between the burnt offering and the squeeze, the sword came back. And they knew it, and they said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Can't you see what is going to follow if we can't beat our type? What is going to follow the burnt offering? What is going to follow if I perish, I perish? It can't fail. God's in far the truth. Spoken for this hour. Nobody could identify itself with it for all the ages. But yet here, because at this age, the Holy Spirit comes and makes it plain. Amen. May we take these words. David said, thou word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee. Amen. Let my life be a picture of you, Lord. A letter written by your hand for the world to read and to see. Amen. Because this is that hour. This is that hour. We are faced with it. It's the hour we squeeze. The pressure is going to be felt. In a greater way, it's going to keep escalating. Either it squeezes to the presence of the king, or it squeezes you out. But Mordecai knew that in Esther, she could take that message. He knew that when that thing strike her right, she's going to go in. Her life will mean nothing. Amen. So the prophet knew there's going to be a bride in this earth. When the squeeze comes, the third pole will start the rapturing phase of the going away. Wait until them seven thunders of its voices, that little group, who can take the word and hand it there. They will shut the heaven gates, billions of flies. Whatever they say, will be the word proceeding from the mouth of God. Fire proceeding from the mouth. A sharp two-edged sword. A super church, a super weak. She was right in the palace, maybe as I look at you tonight. But under the impact of that message, when she came back off from the presence of the king, she knew it was finished. When the deep in her heart called to the king, and the deep in the king responded back, she knew she had found favor. Especially when he said, ask what you will, even to half of the kingdom. Even to John 14 and Mark 11, 23, John 15 said, Mark 16, ask what you will. Hebrews 4, 12, whatever you ask. Ask for your family, happy, right? Ask her. When King Theophany dropped on happy, right, house, the scepter through the mouth of the prophet. Is it happy, right? Ask. Even for the salvation of your boys, the mother and father come back young, $1 million. Ask what you will. She knew she was in that presence. She had slipped into the throne room. What will it be like to be in that throne room? But now is the time of consecration. That message put her into consecration. I'm looking for you to have the same effect upon you. I'm believing it's going to do it. I'm preaching and believing it. I'm not trying to beg you. I'm trying to get you to accept the responsibility. I'm trying to get you to see in such a time as this, you are raised up. Do you believe tonight? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father,
Lord, we stand in your presence under the impact of revelation. Revelation of your word for this hour. Revelation being made plain before our eyes. Faith, anointing our hearts, giving us a motivation on the inside. Lord, to push us up close into your presence, to make us deny ourselves, giving us strength, oh God, to overcome the mind battles, giving us faith muscles to pull along the strongholds. Lord, to pull along the strongholds of reason and imagination, to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, giving us faith to lay our lives down, bringing us to a real sense of commitment to the cause of Christ, whether in life or in death, that Christ be magnified in our body, that we can receive a greater supply of the Holy Spirit. We confess tonight, for us to live is Christ, for us to die is gain, Lord. Oh God, we feel that promise. As I have loved you, so we should love one another. That capstone of love being inspired to our hearts. A greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. You again in bright form in this hour, laying down your life for your people, Lord. Oh God, to bring a ministry of power. That will bring real deliverance. Father, may we recognize that the life in us have already done it in Calvary already and can do it again. But that is how we overcome. To know the life inside of us have overcome all these things already. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Bless your people tonight. Anoint these things to our hearts. Oh God, may not leave us, Lord. But Father, may, oh God, these be so inspired to us. We thank you for revealing these things unto us, Lord. We see it in your word. We see how direct it is to the season. We acknowledge it is you, the great Joshua amongst us. Come down to reveal these things. Because it's time for us to go out of here, Lord. You're keeping us in the hour of temptation. Just as it said you would do, Lord. Hallelujah. Showing your love to us. More and more assurance you can never leave your word. You speak it and you remember it, Lord. You tried our patience all these years. But because we kept the word of your patience, oh God, you are keeping us now in this hour of temptation. While we see the world being caught up in deceived, in this great move, one love, one people, this great ecumenical spirit sweeping the land, we thank you for the great Holy Spirit amongst us, bringing us into the real oneness, the Word made spirit of life in the believer. Hallelujah! That is the oneness, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, Father, I pray you can anoint us and open up more and more these divine revelations, Father, and may it bring that prevailing power in the hearts of the people. Give it overcoming grace, Father. Lifting up the church in that realm where, oh God, we'll see that same behavior that was upon Esther, upon a greater than Esther. Hallelujah. The object that cast a shadow, Lord. Hallelujah. The week when we sing, it is the spirit of Esther anointing us. It will never be a song, but it will be identification of the life and the spirit that is living in and through us. Oh God, may you grant it, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask these things for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, The Sword of the Lord. And of Gideon, the spirit of Esther anointing me. Amen. Somebody want to read this out of your book? Let's start it. Mm-hmm. Rise down, mighty men.
Rise down, mighty men of valor.
Oh, be full of a good courage this evening. Go in this hammock.
Thank you.
sing a song this book here. Oh, blessed be it one time. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I need you right now. I want to put all my life in your keeping somehow. Oh, I need you right now.